Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The FBI just went international, contacting Mexican federal law enforcement. While Sheriff Nanos is still publicly saying there's no evidence Nancy Guthrie was taken across the border, investigators showed a Tucson gun shop owner, 18 to 24 names with photos. They've analyzed what appears to be A ring visible through the suspect's glove. Google is attempting to recover additional Nest footage that was recorded over, and the mixed DNA found at the home is now being called extremely hopeful by the nation's leading genetic genealogist. Robin Drake spent his FBI career reading behavior and running counterintelligence operations. He's here with us, as always, to help break down and make some sense of what's going on in this case. The FBI, they've now contacted Mexican federal law enforcement. I mean, I'm guessing maybe they would or did early on. I don't know, but we're just hearing about it now. But Pima County Sheriff Nano said publicly, there's no indication Nancy was taken across the border. I guess that might be true. Border Patrol cameras came up empty. In your experience here, is it standard protocol given proximity to Tucson, or does reaching out to Mexico signal something specific about where investigators believe this case is headed?
It doesn't strike me as odd. I don't know what arrangements they have down there, but anytime, I mean, what the Bureau and what all organizations rely upon is relationships with all partners you possibly can. And a lot of times people use any excuse they can to foster and build relationships. And so this will probably fill multiple purposes. One, good liaison with the Mexican authorities and Mexican law enforcement is always something that we're always working towards as law enforcement in terms of the United States, as our foreign partners. We have legats all over the world for that purpose. And as a remote possibility, as the sheriff says, there's no evidence that she was taken across. Great. Mm-hmm. And I believe him, but she still might have been. And so you want to kind of put those feelers up, because what you do in an investigation, one of the things that is it's very passive that can help, and that is you sensitize as much as your environment as you possibly can about what's going on, because maybe they didn't think of something, or maybe they didn't regard something, a piece of data they saw coming across their boards. But all of a sudden, when someone sensitizes you, all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's what that weird thing was, and you can pass it back. So I think it was more of a passive measure. In other words, hey, be aware of this, what we have going on just across the border. If you see anything odd, pick up anything from your sources, let us know. It might be something. So I think it's more passive than directive.
We're hearing about it now. We don't know exactly when, you know, this directive may have come out. Do you think they did it right away, or do you think it was like, hey, maybe we? I mean, I guess how would they not know? But at the same point, is this like just a lever that's pulled right away, you know, around Tucson when something like this happens, you think? Or is this like, hey, 19 days in, guys, let's do that, the same way it's like, guys, there's a camera across the street we should probably take a look at?
I don't know, because I haven't been part of doing it like that, but I know there's a protocol that they're following, especially when the FBI and the CIRG got involved, the Critical Incident Response Group. And part of that protocol, you know, checklist basically of things to do is probably on that. When the Bureau's brought in, my guess is that they're starting work in the protocol, and that was probably on that protocol as soon as the Bureau is brought in at some point. It's probably done earlier on than it was announced. Mm-hmm. But a lot of things that we're seeing in the news are afterthoughts for people that are internal, so you don't think to make an announcement about it. It's just something we always do. So I think it was probably done earlier than we're finding out about as part of a very typical process that they're working. Remember, there's a protocol for everything. Mm-hmm. And even though this is a little bit different in a lot of areas, really the core essence of it is fitting a very specific pattern. So they're just reacting and doing the pattern and the mm-hmm. checklist basically going down.
Let's talk about the Tucson gun shop owner who's told NBC that the FBI showed him about 18 to 24 names with photos, yeah. asking if anyone on the list had purchased a firearm in the past year. They didn't have any matches at that gun store that they had talked to. What does it tell you about what's going on with investigators apparently having some sort of a working list of specific names? And I guess, how would they have built that list? We don't have any sort of CODIS matches or anything of that right now, or DNA that has hit. How do you think they came about that list to go to a gun store owner and go, know any of these guys?
There's a lot of different ways it could happen. And I don't know how overlapping the as I call it, the Venn diagrams are.
Yeah.
You have a lot of different investigations. We've covered this a lot of times before, where you have like a pocket of people working on cell phone data extraction. You have a pocket of people working on DNA. You have a pocket of people working on Walmart. You have a pocket of people working in all these different areas. And what happens is each of these pockets are coming up with possibles, unsubs. And so, for example, where could possible names come from? Well, if you have the cell phone people working on it, and they have a deviation during a time period, like for the 1 to 3 months prior to this thing happening, and they have they've profiled in the area where Nancy lives of what the typical cell phone tower hits are these cell phones. So in other words, you have the average, you have the norm, and all of a sudden they probably had a bunch of them during that time period, especially at night, where we'd have unusual cell phone pings. And mm-hmm. so what happens next is you take those cell numbers and then you serve a subpoena to those cell companies that own those numbers to get true names and identifiers back on those cell phones that ping out of there. And then based on those, they can track them. They can actually then take those names because they had subpoenas on them, and then they can mm-hmm. use them in things like going into the gun shops. And then if you actually have a group of names or possibles of people and photos for the Walmart purchases, you're going to overlap them and any overlaps. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I love seeing this list. That was really good that they mm-hmm. have something. So they have possibles. And now granted, they might not any our guy might not be on any of those possibles, because if he didn't have a cell phone or went to some Walmart in somewhere else in the world, you're not going to have the pings. But mm-hmm. the probability is, I think I've said this at the beginning too, I think they have his name somewhere in a big plethora of stuff. Will they eventually have enough to be able to extract it from a couple hundred names?
Let's talk about one of the other big pieces of evidence right now. And I think there's been some confusion, but there's also been some conflation as well on some of these things. The DNA, we have two DNA profiles, or two separate ones for everybody playing along at home. There's one that is a combined DNA. This was in the house, and we don't know what it was found on, but we know there's some sort of a DNA profile in that house that they are currently working on extracting and figuring out what is in it. That I don't know why it's taken this long, but we know that one exists. Then there's the glove, and this is the 2 mile away latex glove that the authorities, this blew my mind, because it was like, what makes you think the glove 2 miles away has anything to do with this crime? And the reasoning was twofold. It wasn't one of them that one of the 16 that the investigators dropped around the ground of the active crime scene. And number two, which gave me no more faith in it, was it looks like the one on the video.
You got to run it down.
Of course, and run it down without a doubt. But it looks like the one on the, so does like every other glove. Yesterday I was explaining what was going on in this story to my daughter. And we were about to turn and pull in somewhere. And I said, I bet if you go for a walk anywhere, you're going to find a rubber glove or 10. Like if you give, like, there's one right there. Like wherever we were turning, it was right on the side of the right. I said, there's one right there. And it's just because they are. I don't know why they are. I've never like had a reason to toss a rubber glove, but there's plenty of people who do, I guess. But it's so I guess run the lead down, and now the fact that it didn't ping in CODIS, that doesn't surprise me. I know it doesn't surprise you, but do we go to IGG on this thing? Because that's what they're saying they're going to do. I mean, I guess why not? But I guess why at the same time?
I'd be focusing on the house. You know, the fact that the DNA was mixed in the house, from what I understand, which is actually a good sign that actually might have been from the perpetrator of this, because it was mixed, because a lot of times it's mixed when there's a struggle of some sort.
Yeah.
And so it's taking some more time to separate that out, from what I understand. And then that's the one I would focus on. I mean, you got to run the one on the street down, because it's in the system. You cannot, like I remember when I was working 9/11 in New York, as ludicrous as some of the leads were, we could not close the lead until we actually did the final interview of the person that saw the plane flying down the Hudson River, you know, all a couple million of them. But I think the same thing here. The lead comes in, you got to close it out. But I'd be focusing, and I'm sure they are, on the DNA inside the house.
Are there limitations? I mean, look, there should, and I say, what, you know, if it hurts nothing to run the lead down, do it. We're starting to talking about the, like, going and testing things at labs, and then that's going to cost money. And I'm not saying don't spend money on this, but I guess, is there a qualifier where, okay, we're going to keep pursuing this lead, to what degree? Because everything's going to come down to a budget and finances of paying a lab, or, you know, using the Quantico lab too. But again, is it just whatever, send it to our own lab? It doesn't matter, cost be damned on something like this?
Well, you have to. I mean, just think
because there's going to be hundreds of gloves around the general vicinity. Do you run them on all? I mean,
I think what's going to happen is they're going to be obviously more discerning on any other gloves. But since this one's in the public eye and people have an expectation, because remember, half of what you do is for public perception. So you can maintain trust in the institution organization that are there to keep us safe. And so if it wasn't run down and put into the system, people would be questioning it. There'd be conspiracies. And so they have to do it on the glove because it's in the public eye already. Now, are they discerning on other ones? I'd imagine they are.
So are they just saying, don't pick up any more gloves on the side because they might, and then you might actually, I mean, it's like, well, they know about this one, we got to make it look good.
So you pick stuff up, but you just don't blast it out to everyone, you know, in the media that you picked it up. And then the other thing is what the on-scene commander is doing is, especially at this point, is you are triaging what's the most likely probability, what's not. You're looking at your resources and looking where to expend resources, whether it's manpower resources, financial resources, whatever it is, whatever constraints they have. They're creating their stacks of probabilities, and they're just funneling all the resources where we have a more probable hit. Because what happens is once you flush out the more probable and you start drying up on those, that's when you'll start. In other words, if you picked up 16 gloves and you're like, there's no way, but you have them because you picked them up and they're there and you flushed out the 1-2 miles down the road and you flushed out the house and then we got nothing. Then when those more probable ones dry up, what are you going to do? We might go a layer down. We'll look at those 16 again, or we'll look at this. And so, because things don't go cold until there's nothing left to do, but that things to do get more and more remote in possibilities is what it is.
Yeah. We got 400 investigators, 80,000 tips, I think today is the number.
Yeah.
No CODIS hit as of yet, no name suspect. A list of names that was being shown to gun shops. You got tech companies pulling deleted footage. You got DNA heading to genealogy labs. Based on where we're at right now, going on in about to enter our fourth week into this, and the investigative tempo you're seeing, does this feel like a case that's building towards some sort of identification, or one that is losing momentum?
I don't think it's losing momentum yet. I think it's hit a steady state. One of the guys, I retired FBI guy that I see on Fox a lot, he talks about the op tempo, the war tempo, the battlefield tempo. And I think what's happened is things build to a point, and we saw that in the first week or two. And I think they're at an op tempo right now that is pretty constant, sustainable, and it's. They're at a constant grind right now as they're really zeroed in on the things they want to do. The first couple of weeks, you're figuring out what it is you want to do and what it is you want to prioritize as you're gathering data and information and looking at probabilities, you're looking at what you have. And so they identified that. And right now, I'd say we're about, again, pure conjectures. I'm not on the ground with them. They're probably about halfway through that tempo of things they want to get done. And also there's a lot of waiting going on right now because on the technical side, they're waiting for results. They're waiting for analysis. They're waiting. At the same time, with 40 or 50,000 leads, that's a lot of people to talk to.
Yeah.
And that's what is also part of what's going to take some time and grind. Oh, time and grind. That's good. Some time and grind because – so here's how that works. 50,000 leads. And literally when I was in, someone would come up and you'd be handed a lead, which is on a piece of paper, name, phone number, what it's about, and it's handed to you. And you have 12 hours to cover this lead or 6 hours, whatever it is. And then you make a phone call, you do it, and then you write up your results. You put your results in the system. Someone takes 50,000 of these inputs coming in. Some analysts are looking at those, correlating, placing, triaging those. And so, yeah, it takes a while to do all that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah, I mean, you need human manpower and there's only so many people that are available to do such a thing. So it's, yeah, it becomes a battle of, can you dig through that haystack fast enough to get to something that is of meaning? But I mean, I believe there are hundreds of people on this, probably thousands at this point, you know, working in different capacities at their hardest. And it's a shame that there is such seeming clusterness with a lot of the leadership, but that's not in any way to denigrate all the folks that are working their damnedest to try and on the ground and get this thing solved. And hopefully we see something. It's just 4 weeks we're into it. If you look at disappearances in the United States and missing people, Nancy is one of many, unfortunately. And that is the reality. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Sizing People Up. This is a good book that I think applicable to a lot of what we're talking about. But your latest, It's All About Me. Do you still have the giant thing or is it up?
The publisher sent you.
It's always just fun to hold up the giant awkward sign.
They send you a billboard.
There you go. Available on pre-order right now, wherever books are sold. Go and check it out. And weigh in. Give us your thoughts on the case. Where do you think it's going? Where do you think it's been? Thoughts, whatever you want to drop in those comments. Substack, hiddenkillers.substack.com. You can join us there or on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers of Tony Bruschi. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. We'll continue the conversation in the comments section. Until next time, for Robin, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever?
Coming crew.
Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.